The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Welcome to another SoCal Sound Session. I am Julie Slater, midday DJ, also music director at the station, and I am here with Biba Doobie. Beatrice, does anyone still call you Beatrice?
Some people, you can call me B.
B?
Yeah.
It's very cute. Welcome to the station. You've been here before. We did, it was probably about 2.5 years ago. It was this place called Mr. Music Head, and you were really ill, and you had you just weren't feeling well. Were just wrapping up a tour, I think, and about to go home anyway. It was still really awesome.
Thank you.
You were like, I'm trying to get through this. I want to go through, tell me if I'm right on this. If someone's tuning in, they're like, oh, I want to know the timeline of Biba Doobie. Is this, tell me if this stuff is true. You got your first guitar at 17?
Yeah.
And was the first song you wrote Coffee?
Yes. I think it was that and then like a song called Zoo, like the zoo. And I did like animal noises on it.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. So you write Coffee, you put that out, and then an artist named Paufu takes the song and puts it in his song. And it has like 1.5 billion streams on Spotify. And like, is that what just like blew you up? And it's crazy.
Yeah. It's so strange. Cause like, I think sometimes when people discover my music, they know that Paufu song, but they don't put two and two together. Like, what? She's in on that song? It's interesting. Like, I remember being 18 and absolutely hating it. And now I'm like, fair enough, man. Thanks to that song.
Why do you think you hated it?
I was just an angry 18-year-old. Like, I want to make rap music. Blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, classically got into Sonic Youth. Yeah. But then now I look back at it really fondly and like, I feel like it's cool that a lot of people connect through a song, so.
And it's great how it opened up things for you. So now you're about to release your third record. This is How Tomorrow Moves. By the time this comes out, it'll be out. They moved up the release date.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Really
are you like
excited.
Ready to get this baby out?
Oh yeah, I've been really impatient. I'm just impatient in general. I mean, it's very nerve-wracking. I hope it goes well, but I'm just really excited. I love the album so much.
And you're going to be starting a big tour to back it up?
Oh, yeah. I have to.
Yeah.
Around America, UK, and then Europe.
So if time-wise, so I'm thinking that it's been about 7 years that you've been playing, and now...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Since you got your first guitar. Well, how did it feel when you got the call or whatever that said, hey... So I think Rick Rubin's going to work on this record with you. Like, how did that feel?
Literally, like, I was shocked. Because we, like, met and we had, like, no conversation about the record, about making a record together. It was, like, I say this every time, but it was, like, a therapy session. Like, literally. And then we had plans prior making records with other people, just, like, making it in London, just with me and Jacob. Jacob, who co-produced it with Rick. And so when we got the call, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like... That's sick, but also slightly daunting, because that means I have to make a record, like, in Malibu, which
must have been very difficult.
Yeah, it was really difficult, but no. I mean, it's just so different, so far away from home. I was away from my cats, but it was the best musical experience ever, yeah.
What do you think Rick Rubin brought out in you? Like, what lessons did you learn? It seems like a producer would really... could change everything.
I think it was trust in my songwriting and confidence. And I think I've really been needing that throughout my career. I always kind of depended on what people said or like people's ideas, which is good, you know, it's good to be open. But I think one of the first things we ever did when we went to Shangri-La, we were about to play him the demos that we had made in London. He was like, no, I want to like listen to the songs like how you wrote them in your house, like acoustically. So we learned the songs overnight, pretty stressed. And then I played him the entire album on acoustic guitar. When we listened to it back and I realized, oh damn, like I could probably release all these songs without all the instrumentation. And I think it could be pretty cool.
Did you tell Rick I don't really need you right now because I've got my album already?
Yeah, but I don't.
No. Rick, you're cool, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciated that he made me think that about myself.
That's really incredible. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how he got that out of you?
I think it was just by doing that made me realize that these songs were full songs that I had written by myself, and that in the studio I don't necessarily have to, like, you know, oh, like, I always felt the need to talk in the studio, despite not feeling like there was a need to, or, like, I would always come up with an idea that was kind of like, oh, maybe I just, for the case of just saying something. And for the first time ever, I was like, I don't need to talk, I've done all the work. Like, I've made these songs by myself, I've written them in my house, I've experienced all these things. And if I need to say something, I'll say it. But yeah, I've never really felt that before.
How many songs, so there's 14 songs on your record, how many did you show up with?
Like 13, yeah.
So one of them you wrote in the studio?
Yeah.
Which one's that?
Beaches, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's one of the songs you're playing today.
Yeah.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. Are there any songs on the album that really turned out? So you kind of stripped them all down, but is there any one of these or more than one that really turned into something different while you're in the studio?
I'm trying to think. I think they're all pretty close to what we'd imagined it to sound like, if I'm being honest. Like, Take a Bite, I think we didn't have a bridge for that, so I wrote it in the studio. But I think that just came out of what was already made prior and what had been done in the studio. But it all, like, I think what Rick's main thing was kind of putting the songwriting at the forefront and, like, prioritizing that, like, my words, and which I really appreciated. So everything that came with the song, like the instrumentation, just meant that it was almost, you know, benefiting what the song meant. Yeah.
Do you have any cute nicknames for Rick Rubin? Like, I'll call you up, be like, hey, Riri.
Oh my God, imagine.
You're like, absolutely not. How about the song Coming Home? It's funny, when I was listening to the record, it almost gave me, it felt like an upbeat Elliot Smith vibe. And then you mentioned Elliot in another song. Is that Elliot Smith?
Yeah.
Are you a big Elliot Smith fan?
I love EXO. Yeah, I love Elliot.
So did he inspire, like, can you tell me a little bit about Coming Home, like what that... Oh, and you said you'd never played it for a radio station before coming here. So it's an exclusive, everybody.
Exactly. Well, it was actually born in LA. So I think around this time, like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, I wrote it here just because I felt homesick. I missed my boyfriend and my cats. And I was listening to a lot of Elliot at the time and the Beatles. I wanted the production to be reminiscent of those sounds. And it's just a simple old love song, really.
It's interesting you mentioned the Beatles, because a lot of your songs, it made me think of the Beatles because they're all like two, you know, they're under 3 minutes. There's only like maybe two of them are over 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So what, like, when did you get into the Beatles? And
when I was a kid, really.
Yeah.
I actually have every Beatles album on cassette, which is, I think it's cool. Because I did this thing, which isn't very cool. In like secondary school, I thought it would be like really cool if I like only listened to a Walkman on the Hammersmith and City line. So I'd be like lugging around this massive thing, like wearing these like stupid, like crappy headphones, and like thinking I was like, yeah, just like changing my other Beatles cassette. And I'm like, why did I do that? But I was always obsessed with them. That was like one of the first posters I ever got, the Beatles, apart from One Direction.
Yeah. That's a nice conflict of posters. But cassettes are hot now, so you were like,
I love cassettes.
Is your album coming out in cassette? I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, it's annoying because I used to have a record player, and now I don't. I only have a cassette player. So the only time I've actually listened to like the physical of my album is on cassette. So
that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love songs about California, since we're in California, and you have a track too, it's called California. What's your feelings? I was going to ask, if you had to write a postcard to California, what would you write to it?
That I hate you and love you at the same time. And I'm confused about you.
Have you spent a lot of time out here?
California.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit for work and, you know, shows. And it's like, it's weird because they romanticize California a lot. And then I come here and I'm like, oh, there's like a weird, it's a weird thing because it really inspires me because I get really sad. But it's ironic because the weather's so good. But it is a good time. It's just, I think every time I've been to California, when I'm on the road, I've been not in a good place. The last was the first time I felt like I was in a really good place. Yeah.
So California's starting to get a little
bit
better.
It's moving up in the ranking.
And you're playing, well, you're going to play the Greek Theater again. And you've had some really, before we recorded, you had some really nice things to say about it. It's a, it's one of my favorite venues. I mean, just being out there, I can only imagine performing with all the trees and...
So pretty.
Yeah.
It's so sick. I love it.
I read an article about you really taking care of your mental health. You got into ballet. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, but recently I've had, I think I haven't been for like 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks even, just because I've been doing lots of press. But it's been a regular thing apart from that.
And has it helped you really mentally? I mean, it's hard, I imagine, on tour to keep something consistent going.
Oh, totally. It definitely humbles me. I think it's like that in training as well, like someone kind of shouting at you to do something. I think it's good for my brain. And it's way harder than I thought it was because I actually started doing it because I thought the outfits were cute. And then I realized, oh crap, it's actually like really difficult. And my body sometimes just doesn't work the way ballerina bodies work. So yeah, it's been hard.
Is there anything you do besides music, like something just to kind of chill out? Like especially, I guess maybe while you're on tour, but when you're not on tour, something way off the beaten path?
I love hanging out with my cats a lot and my friends.
How many cats do you have?
I have 2 cats. I'm planning on getting more.
It must be hard to leave them when you go on tour.
I cried.
Who takes care of them?
Oh, my cousin and my boyfriend's dad take care of my cats. But like, like even now, like I'm just away for a week, and that's nowhere near how long I'm away for tour. But I was crying on the plane, like staring at pictures of my cats.
That's hard.
I know. It's like having a baby or something.
What would you, so your new album's your baby, what would you, if you had to describe your album compared to the other ones, what would you say, this is how Tomorrow Moves, like how different are you as a person and how different has that come out in your record?
It's definitely mature, introspective, definitely kind of like accepting one's mistakes for the first time. I think in my past records, I'm like, well, you did this, and this is why I feel like this, so I hate you. Like, that was... And I'm not to say that's bad. Like, you need to go through those feelings. But I think it's all part of growing up, really. Yeah.
Well, you've been awesome. Thank you for coming by. Thanks for performing songs for us. It's really been a treat. Everyone's kind of buzzing around, trying to... Like, can I get a picture with you? We'll be seeing you at the Greek September 28th, 29th. Be-ba-doobie, everybody. New record, This Is How Tomorrow Moves. It'll be out now.
Thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
Some time waiting for your face. Don't wanna risk just making all the same mistakes. The highest I think I've ever been. Said I had the prettiest eyes he'd ever seen. Can't help going through it. Swear it's just the calm down that made me do it. But my spin and I show it. Wasting all my time just dwelling in it. Cause
is spend some time with a fire face. Don't wanna risk just making all the same mistakes. The highest I think I've ever been, said I had the prettiest eyes he'd ever seen. Wound up with a purpose. I've been through this too many times to not notice. It's been rough, but I felt worse. I'll pull myself back up and you know this. Cause I spent some time waiting for your face. Don't wanna risk just making all the same mistakes. The highest I think I've ever been, said I had the prettiest eyes he'd ever seen. He has the prettiest eyes I've ever seen. Every piece of me holds parts of you. Wish I could see that it feels much better when I'm with you. And when I get too high and I can't breathe, I can't lie. He has the prettiest eyes I've ever seen. 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 Dishes, I'll carry the load to make up. Lost time, trash to the brim, and I'm scared of it. But you always know just what to say, and I'm sorry if I'm coming home too late. I'm waking up to the gap on my blinds, peeking sunlight. I'd do anything just to be with you, to sit and watch you slowly wake. And I'm sorry if I'm coming on too late. A hotel room only means I'll be with you soon. An American state makes you feel so far away. So I promise this time I won't be late. And a bar on the roof is not a good way to leave you too. And a seat on a plane only shows that we're miles away. So I promise this time I won't be late. You do the dishes, we'll carry the load because we have time. I emptied the trash like I said I did, and you never guess what I'd have to say. I'm not sorry, cause this time I won't be late. Spending out on what to do. Finding reasons for my constant change of mood. Said I see it to believe it, but who knows the actual truth? But I'm sure now, I'm sure, 'cause days blend to one when I'm on the right beaches and the walls painted white. They tell me all the secrets. Don't wait for the tide, just to dip both your feet in. 'Cause I'm sure now, I'm sure. Find it hard to say I know that I'm alright. Took a while for me to finally realize, but when I see it, I believe it, giving me a peace of mind. But I'm sure now, I'm sure, 'cause days plan on one when I'm on the right beaches and the walls painted white. They tell me all the secrets. Don't wait for the tide, just to dip both your feet. 'Cause I'm sure now, I'm sure, 'cause some days I'm afraid to fall down, but I understand the coming out. Come pick it up if I allow it. Can't help it, help, 'cause days blend on one when I'm on the right beaches and the walls painted white. They tell me all the secrets. Don't wait for the tide, just to dip both your feet in. 'Cause I'm sure now, I'm sure.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater, audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College, streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.